Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
Some people just want to run. Run when the pressure gets too much at home, marriage. Hey, maybe a season. But thank God he's with us and he's helping. There's help for us. Maybe with your children, maybe financially, and just pressures kind of get you and you just kind of think, oh man, I can't handle this. Man, come on, go to God. We'll show you in a moment what you to do with that. And it says here, you know, some people run, some people give in. And you might say, John, what is your big temptation? As I said before, it can be anything, anywhere, anytime. But mainly, maybe something like, I've had enough. You ever get that feeling where you just had enough? Interesting. Is that a temptation? I know we get tired and it's time to move on, but I believe it's never time to quit. Yeah, I get tired and sometimes I've had enough. But then have a sleep, get up and say, ready to go again. You don't kind of make decisions in your vulnerable times in life. And you never make a decision when you're vulnerable, when you're down, and when you're too high. You'll make crazy decisions. You always make decisions in the even time of your life. When you're not too excited, when you're not depressed, you're making a good quality decision. Very good. And it's temptation says, and he'll receive a crown of life which the Lord has to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil. Nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he is, what? Drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when these desires are conceived, it brings birth to death. Sorry, conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it's fully grown, brings birth to death. I'm trying to get to this point. Do not be deceived, says the last point, my beloved brethren. If Jesus encourage us to pray prayers, lead us not to temptation, we better listen. Yes. Specific prayer. Amen. You know, we start so many things and quit so many. And I think sometimes it may be okay, but don't let the pressure come upon you in a season of testing and you quit. Or you do something stupid. Get back on your horse. Let's keep going.
Yes, come on.
Then it says that each one is tempted when he is by the enticement of his desires. Now, each one of us, we have desires. You've got desires. I've got desires. I desire certain things. You know, if I got really carried away with my desires, I wouldn't mind driving a Lamborghini. But I'd have to sell my soul to buy it. So it's not going to happen. If it was in my world and the money was there, maybe a different story, but I can't see it happening soon. So I don't worry about those things, because if you're desiring something that's out of your scope and you keep going for it, you will try to get it in unrighteous means.
Very good. Come on.
That's why people rob banks. That's why people rob others. That's why people do injustice. They've got a desire that's not theirs and they're trying to fulfill it because they haven't got the resources to see it happen.
Yeah. Very good.
So you've got to watch your desires and make sure they're in the right bracket. Jesus says he puts his desires in your heart. And it's easy to know what the desires of God are and what the desires of self and what the desires of the enemy. Anything that takes you away from God, anything that takes you away from, you know, the right standards of living, you can just about guarantee it's not a desire of God. But if you put your focus on it, it'll become a reality in your life, where it's good or evil. So he says about temptation that it happens when we get the wrong desires happening in our life in the air of enticement, and we begin to follow them. And once you get something in your mind, I tell you what, it'll take you quicker there than what you think. Look at the desires in your heart. Are they righteous? Are they good? Can you do it with faith? in Jesus' name. Can you get up tomorrow morning for good conscience and keep moving forward in the strength of God in Jesus' name? He said, come on, lead us not into temptation. Is that a good prayer?
Yes.
Number two. Oh, I love this. Lord, amaze me with a glimpse of your supernatural. Isn't this be specific? And this scripture is found in Matthew 6 and verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. So God, we just thank you for your daily provision. Lord, amaze me with your supernatural. There's always things that we may not have within our life, but God, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. And what's things that we need on a daily basis? We need food, we need protection, shelter, and we need company. They're the basic drives within humanity. Food, shelter, company, friendship. Food, company, fellowship. Friendship. The drives within our life. And Jesus says, hey, come on, within the scope of your humanity, why don't you pray, give us this day our daily bread? I just wonder, what do you need for your daily or your weekly? Well, we need our rent, we need our mortgage, need to pay for my car, need to pay for fuel, need to pay for my school, and those kind of things. So you just say, God, hey, give me my daily bread. Give it to me. And then he'll give you ways, he'll give you work, he'll give you opportunity to make sure that your daily bread is fulfilled. God has miracles lined up for you. And I just want to encourage you today, if you're unemployed and you can work, I want to agree with you today that God is going to get you a job in Jesus' name. Last year, Pastor Dave, he ran a special 8 o'clock in the morning prayer group or connect group for those who are unemployed. I think most of them got jobs. Why? They got together, they prayed, they got serious about it, and they sought them. And I just want to encourage us as a church, if you're unemployed, man, I feel sorry. But I've been there in my life. But I won't, if I can work, I will find work. And I know some can't work and those kind of things. You know, we have a government that helps us with that, thank God. But always be a person that wants to, if I can do something, man, I'm not just going to sit back. I'm going to get up there and work, and I'm going to see God's provision come through the miracles of the gifts he's put within my hands, within my body, that I can see his resources released in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus, help me get a job. Jesus, help me get a house. You know, I just hear it on the news a lot, and people are talking about it. You know, we can never afford to buy a house in Sydney. If you've got a house, man, you must be so happy. But then you hear these people, I will never get a house. Their prices are too expensive and those kind of things. Hey, let me tell you, Sydney has always been expensive. When I came to Sydney many years ago, I sold my house in Albury. You might say, how much did you get for it? And let me just think for a moment. I think I got $25,000. You might say that must have been years ago. Yeah, it was. But what did the house cost me in Sydney? $120,000. So it's always been expensive. But you might say now it's ridiculous. Probably is. But just let me prove my point. I talk to pastors in Sydney. And they just say, John, we can never get a church. It's too expensive. We can never get our own building. It's too expensive. And I do admit, it is expensive. But they've been talking this for 30, 40 years. And I've got a couple of friends that, you know, that started at the same time as me. They got, you know, money in the bank and that kind of stuff. But they never got their building, which they thought they should get. But, you know, when we brought this land here, 1989, 5 1/4 acres, it cost us $240,000. You say, cheap? What's a block of land in Liverpool now? 400,000? More? So we got 5 acres, 5 1/4, for 240,000. You might say, that is so cheap. I want to tell you, it was so flipping dear. We had to mortgage our properties, those that are on the board, you know, just to get this land, just to get this thing started. It's always been expensive. What am I saying? I just believe if God's put a desire in your heart, believe. Don't put yourself in a place where you can never break through it, but believe that somehow miracles can happen. Are you hearing me? Believe that somehow miracles can happen. Who knows what can happen? And I even used to speak to my friends, you know. I said, you know, oh, they used to say, we haven't got a building. I said, you got a building fund. You're putting money aside. Oh, no, we haven't done that. We're believing for a miracle. Man, give God something to create a miracle. Yeah. And even yourself, if you're believing for a house, hey, why don't you have a house fund? That's a revelation. Give us this day our daily bread. Kind of help yourself. And if you think, well, it's out of our scope, hey, man, just keep saving. Who knows what God can do? But enjoy where you're at in Jesus' name. Give us this day our daily bread. Give me my money for my rent. Lord Jesus, I believe. Give me my money that I can be a blessing. Give me what I need, oh God. Lord, amaze me with a glimpse of your supernatural. And help me make my money go further as I honor you with my tithes and my offerings. Give me my daily bread. I want to tell you, position yourself well so God can do that. I'm on the same journey as you, but I tell you, there's one thing I've always done. It's always been religion within my life, but it's not religion. It's a commitment. I know it works. Ever since I was 10 years of age, when I got my first 10 shillings, gee, that's old. When I got my first dollar for doing part-time job, I tithed it. And I tell you what, over my life, man, I've been through some tough spots financially. And you might say, well, if you tithe, why didn't God save you from them? But he got me out of them. It wasn't God that got me in them. I got me in them. He helps me out of it. You've got to pay your way forward. So I've always tithed. Honor God. Specific prayers. Lord, lead me not to temptation. Lord, give me your daily bread. My final point is this. You might say you've only done three. Well, I've run out of time. And the third one is this. God, will you have your way? Matthew 6 and verse 10 reads like this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh man, be specific within your life. Hey, why don't you declare upon your life, your kingdom come, your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. God, whatever you've got established for my life in heaven, God, I pray, let it come to earth. For my children, let it come to earth. For my marriage, let it come to earth. For my financial world, let it come to earth. For Liverpool, God, it needs you. Every time we turn on the news, there's something crazy happening in Liverpool. But I want to tell you, where sin abounds, grace abounds. Man, let your kingdom come to this earth, to Liverpool, as it is in heaven, in Jesus' name. And I believe that God's kingdom can come. It can come in your life. It can come in my life. And we are seeing the kingdom of God advance within our life and experience. We don't pull back. We keep advancing the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. What's God looking for? A bit of tenacity within our life where we will say, come on, God. Let me read this one scripture and I'll summarize it and we're out of here. Luke 22, 41, reads like this. This was Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus specifically knew that he came to this earth for a purpose. The Holy Spirit, God the Father, the Son. And God loved us so much that he sent his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So God sent his Son. Jesus laid aside his divinity, his equality with God, and humbled himself and was born of a virgin. Born as a baby, grew up, lived, demonstrated the works of God, died and rose again for the sins of humanity. That was the plan. That was the brief given in heaven. And Jesus knew specifically that every day he was on earth was to fulfill the plan and purpose that God had established for him. Would that be true? So we get to the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he goes to the cross, before he is to suffer, him knowing what he should do about the will of God and about God's kingdom coming through him. And this is what he says. He pulled away from them about a stone's throw from his disciples, and he knelt down and prayed. And this is what he prays: Father, remove this cup from me. But please, not what I want, what do you want? Isn't that interesting? I've prayed prayers like that. God, I can't handle this any longer, but really not what I want. What do you want? What's he saying? God? And I've learned to do this. I can't do this, man. I can't handle this situation with my kids. I just can't handle what's going on in my life at the moment, financially, or I'm just bringing up illustrations, you know what I mean? God, if you don't help me, we're in big trouble. And I pray prayers like that regarding me being the pastor of the church. I just say, God, if you don't help me, I haven't got the answers. And it's amazing when you kind of not only get on your knees, but in your heart, you just, man, this could go either way. And if you don't help me, this is going to be messy. And I don't know how many times I've done that. And God's done something in my heart, a matter of seconds. And the burden shifted, and a fresh awareness of, hey, let's go. What happens? It's called the grace of God. It's called us not being religious. It's called us being relational. It's called us moving forward. And so many times we cut ourselves short because we come to the end of ourselves and we think it's over. No, when you come to the end of yourself, it's the beginning of God. He said, let this cup pass from me, but please, not what I want. What do you want? And I pray sometimes in those moments, God, don't let me do the wrong thing. Don't let me quit. Don't let me be those who kind of step aside. I want to be a person that knows the grace of God and grows through this. And he prayed it. Not what I want, but what you want. Listen, at once an angel from heaven was at his side. Be honest with you, I've never seen an angel. But I know something of the presence of God in those moments. You just kind of think, wow, what happened there? And it's not even a word. It's just kind of something that happens in your spirit, and that's fresh awareness. It's going to be okay. Let's get on from here. But interesting, even when the presence of God came, strengthening him, he prayed all the harder. Sweat wrung from him like drops of blood and poured down his face. As the scriptures go on, gets his breakthrough. He keeps, come on, disciples, let's go. It's time for me to fulfill the plan, the purpose that God has to him. Hey, you will never fulfill the plan of God in your own natural strength. You need divine strength. And it's found on your knees before God and say, God, I can't do this. I need you. Gets up in the supernatural power of God, goes to the cross. And today we celebrate our salvation. Today we celebrate his grace. Today we celebrate that he's given us a destiny in Jesus' name. Sometimes it's tough to do what we need to do, but those days aren't every day. Just when they happen to you, realize what's happening. Amen. Have a strong desire. God, I just want to do your will. Lord, your will be done in this relationship. Lord, your will be done in this opportunity. As I live for you, let your will be done. As I do my internship, let your will be done. Man, as I live my everyday life, let your will be done in Jesus' name. That your kingdom can come. Specific prayers. For each one of us today, I just pray that something will be just attuned within your spirit, that you can go out of here today and say, okay, I'm going to get specific in my prayers and see God come through in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. For service times, upcoming events, or to find out more about Inspire Church, log on to inspirechurch.com.au.